You can go ahead and be seated. We're gonna look at something here tonight, and we're just going to talk a little bit over in Romans, if you want to turn there, the book of Romans, chapter 7. We're just going to kind of hang out there. Romans chapter 7, and I'm going to be hanging in the Message Bible, and so, you know, you can follow along with me the best you can, but from the King James, it's pretty, there's some similarities, but I just kind of like the way this brought out in the Message Bible here. Romans chapter 7, and we're going to pick up in verse 15, and really what we're getting into here is Paul being real with us, okay? You know, sometimes I think we look at the Word of God and we know Paul wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament, and we look at him and we think, you know, well, there's a man of God that never had any problems. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're a man of God or you're a woman of God, you're going to have problems just for that very reason that you are. And so Paul gets real here. Sometimes I think if we're not careful, we can get to the place to where we're in the place so spiritually that we can't relate to people and help them to understand that, you know, it ain't always been that way. Does that make sense? You know, because sometimes we look at folks and we think, well, man, you know, we put them on a pedestal, and there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says to esteem them highly for their work's sake. But we also got to understand that they're human too. And when we read the Word of God sometimes, we kind of miss out on the humanity of them, because they're such heroes to us, and the trials and the things that they go through, especially Paul, all that he went through. But it's good then to see Paul just tell us how it is sometimes with him, that he's not always on this spiritual high, and he wasn't always that spiritual guy that, you know, just before the Lord. He had his struggles too. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight. I entitled this The Flesh Battle, because every one of us has to deal with our flesh, including Paul. And so from the Message Bible, chapter 7, verse 15, here's what Paul writes from this is the Message translation now. He says, "What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise." Man, I mean, I could just stop right there. Anybody else been that way? You know, I mean, this is Paul talking, though, you know, 2/3 of the New Testament. But you know what he's saying? I'm just like you are. I live in a fleshly body. Thank God for the Holy Spirit in me, but here I am. Verse 16, he says, "So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. But I need something more. For if I know the law, but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it." Verse 19, "I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway." Verse 20, "My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time." 21, "It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up." Verse 22, "I truly delight in God's commands." Verse 23, "But it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge." 24, "I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question?" 25, "The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different." Isn't it good to hear a man of God admit, "Yeah, I struggle too"? You know, sometimes we preachers will act like they don't. I try to be me around you at all times. I don't try to put on some kind of super spiritual kind of front or anything like that. I just am who I am. And, you know, Paul, I think, was the one who said, by the grace of God, I am who I am. It's good that people see us being real, you know, because sometimes I think if we're not careful, especially as ministers and even church members that's been there a while, we have to be careful that we don't put ourselves or seemingly put ourselves in a position that where somebody maybe just getting started out looks at us and says, man, I don't think I could ever be able to do that. Because the truth is, every one of us started out in this thing at the bottom. Come on, we started out as just born again babies. We didn't know anything. All we knew is that we needed Jesus in our life. And all we knew is we didn't want to go to hell. But, you know, after you've been there a while then and you get into the Word of God and you begin to study and you begin to grow, then you do change. And people can look at your life and see the change in your life. They see you walking out things and going through things and experiencing things maybe they're not experiencing. But we don't want it to ever make them feel like that they can't experience what we can experience. Because God's not a respecter of persons. He wants every person to grow and become more like Him. And so, you know, I really believe that's why God told Paul to be an example of a believer. In other words, be an example of what you need to be, but don't ever get yourself above that place to where you can't help somebody else get there. You see, that sometimes folks want to do that. They want to act like, well, I'm way above you and, you know, you'll never be like me. That's not true. And if you are thinking that way about yourself, you better do a second check on yourself, okay? Let's look at verse 16 here. Here's what Paul says in this. He says, so if I can't be trusted to figure out what's best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. Well, you know, God's command is necessary because the Word is necessary. The only way that we're going to be able to live this thing out is through and by the Word of God. So you have to understand that. And Paul, he does. He says, you know, I've got to have God's Word in my life. But now here's the thing he says, though, and next in verse 17 here, look what it says there. He says, but I need something more. For if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. What's he saying? He says, I know what the Word says, but I'm still missing it. Anybody been there besides me? You know what the Word says, but you still miss it. Why? Because we have to deal with our flesh. Our flesh, even though, I mean, come on now, folks. I'm not talking about things that have to be bad. I'm just talking about the fact that you know in your spirit, maybe you ought to go pray. But instead of going and praying, you do something else that you want to do. Come on, maybe you watch TV, maybe you do something else, whatever it is. You know what's right. You know that the Word of God says that you're to study to show yourself approved, to get into the Word of God. But instead of doing that, you do something that you want to do. Come on. I mean, this is things that we struggle with every day, folks. And in order for us to grow and be more like Christ, we have to deal with these things, come to the reality that they're there, but then we have to go past that. And that's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, you know, I just kept finding myself in this place to where even though I knew what to do, I wasn't doing it. And even when I knew not to do something, I'd still go ahead and do it. And he said, I've got a problem. Thank God that he would admit. You see, you can't get help unless you admit you got a problem, right? We've got to admit that we need help. And thank God that Jesus died on a cross for us, so that the sins could be forgiven, and that he ascended back to heaven so that the Holy Ghost could come down here and live on the inside of us. And so not only do now we have the Word, but we have the something more. We have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us. Now, Hebrews 10:38 says this, that the just shall live by faith. Okay? Now, as we're struggling, as we're going through things, we have to understand that in order to overcome things, we have to raise our level of faith to be able to overcome those. But we also have to understand that our level of faith will never rise above the level of the Word of God in our life. If we stay a baby in Christ, if we don't learn the Word of God, if we don't get the Word in us, then we can't have faith for things that maybe somebody else can't. You see, and so there are those instances where somebody has studied in the Word, they trust the Word, they believe the Word, they rely on the Word, and they can see results when somebody else that doesn't have that kind of Word or that level of Word in their life, they might not be seeing results yet. But once again, see, you don't belittle somebody because of that. You encourage them to get in the Word and build themselves up. See, as we build, faith comes by hearing, right? Hearing by the Word of God. And so we have to build ourselves. And see, here's the thing. Just knowing the Word of God is not enough. I know that sounds funny, like a contradiction, but it's not. See, not only do we need to know the Word of God, but Paul tells us here, he says, I need help, I need something else, and he says, I don't know what I'm going to do, but then he comes in and says, but thank God for Jesus. You see, not only do we need the Word of God, but we need to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ if we're going to be able to come the crisis, which is the fleshly battle that we put up with. We need the Lord in our life to the point where we can seek Him for help when we get in those places where we need help. You see, if we just got the Word and we don't really have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, all we've got is religion. Amen. See, because, I mean, the Bible talks about the fact that the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. I have been in those services, and I've talked about it here before. I've been in service before where somebody could just, man, they could just roll the Word. I mean, they would could quote the Word, but there wasn't any power behind just quoting the Word. In other words, the Spirit of God wasn't flowing. It was just something they memorized, just like you'd memorize a poem or memorize a speech or something like that. And it's good, don't get me wrong. It's good because the Word is always the Word. But here's the thing. If there's no Spirit behind the Word, then there won't be any power behind it. Amen. You say, well, you know, I'd like to have an example of that. Well, I'll give you a perfect example of that. Remember the seven sons of Sceva. You know, they're going to go cast out the devil like Paul does. There's a difference. See, they used the name of Jesus just like Paul did. Matter of fact, they told that devil, you know, we eschew you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches to come out of the man. And the devil looks at him and says, well, I know who Paul is. I know who Jesus is. I've been in the presence of the power there. But who are you? What was it? There was no power behind what they said. You see, and so we need the Holy Spirit in our life. We need the Holy Ghost helping us to be able to get through things so when we come up against a situation, I don't know about you, but I have to depend on the Holy Ghost a whole lot. Holy Spirit, you're going to just have to help me here because if I did what my flesh wanted to do right now, there'd be trouble. I don't know if you ever get that place, you ever been there or not. You know, so I see something or say, that's why I don't do a whole lot on social media at all. Because there's things I get on there and I'm just like, man, you know, I just want to tell you. You know, I struggle with that because what I want to tell them is truth. You know, I've seen things and I'm, you know, you don't, please, I'm not trying to get political about this. I've seen, you know, where people are disagreeing with what our government's done and that, you know, you got your right to have that that disagreement or you don't have to agree with what, and it's fine. But don't get on social media and say, you know, that we need, if we're taking away and not helping the most vulnerable, what are we doing? If you voted for somebody that's for abortions, don't get on there and talk about the most vulnerable, about little children starving. You want to kill them in the womb before they ever have a chance. I mean, I'm not trying to be political about this. I'm just saying it just the craziness of folks that support abortion, but then turn around and try to act like they care about little children. You don't even want them to be born. You think a woman has more rights than... See, and so, I mean, it's an oxymoron to me. You know, and I'm not trying to be political about this. I'm just... There's some common sense about some things. Right? You can't act like you care for something and then turn around and want to get rid of them before they ever get here. Right? That's for your judgment. You do what you want to do with that. That's just the way I feel about it because seeing the Word of God, it says that, you know, killing, shedding innocent blood is wrong. You know, in the Word of God, it says that homosexuality is wrong. So how can you say that you're a Christian and support that? It's not Pride Month. There's no such thing as Pride Month. You can get mad about me if you want to. I have friends that are homosexuals, but I don't agree with what they do. See, people say, oh, you're just being hateful. That's hate. No, it's not hate. There's one thing to believe the Word of God and do what the Word of God says, and there's another thing to hate somebody. You don't hate somebody just because they're making a mistake. You don't hate somebody because they're in sin, because every one of us has been in sin at one time or another. But thank God we came to our senses and said we need Jesus in our life. He forgave us of our sin, and then we changed our lifestyle. Did you hear me? We changed our lifestyle. We don't live the same life we used to live before Christ. We still have struggles, and that's what Paul's talking about. But it's not struggles that are particularly on purpose because we're living in sin anymore. It's because there's a real devil out there that hates us. And we live in a real fleshly body that we have to deal with the symptoms of this flesh at times. You see. And so anything that we're done intentionally, then we're just bringing more trouble on ourselves. And, you know, again, I'm going to go with the Word of God. You can get mad at me if you want to. But I'm going to go with the Word of God always. I don't care what anybody thinks about it. We're standing on the Word of God. And I know it's not politically correct. But I'm going to tell you something. The world is not politically correct. I saw a little thing on Facebook, and I thought, man, you know, again, I don't comment or anything, but I wanted to. I actually wanted to repost it. Because what it said was this, love is love. Okay? Right? And there was a pride flag there. And then there was another picture there that said, water is water. And it had two straws down into a commode. Pretty good example. See, there's a difference between water, right? There's clean water and there's dirty water. There's clean love, God kind of love, and there's dirty love. Don't get mad at me about that. And I know that messes with some people, but it's the truth. You can't say love is love because there's different kinds of love. There's different kinds of love in the Word of God. You know, agape love, the love of God, philippe love, brotherly love. Right? So when we see this, and then, you know, there's even love for one another. And so when you see people trying to bring all of it and say it's all the same, that's just another reason for you to have trouble in your flesh. And that's what Paul struggles. He says there's things that you just struggle with, but don't bring it. I'm just saying don't bring it on yourself. We need the Holy Ghost to help us, lead us, guide us, and direct us, to keep us away from the things that we're having trouble with. Amen. He has to help us sometime. I don't know about you, but I need His help all the time. So Paul says, listen, I've got a problem. I need help. I don't know who in the world is going to help me, but I found out who's going to help me. Jesus is. Jesus is going to help me. And so thank God for that. We have to have this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it can't be just a religious thing. Our relationship with the Lord God has to be a relationship based on trust. Trusting, really, trust and faith can be pretty well put in the same category when it comes to God, because if I have faith in God, then I trust God. You know, and so when you start thinking about faith and trust, every time I hear the word trust, I kind of think about, anybody ever seen where they'll get a group of people together and they want to build team relationships. And so what are we going to do? Well, here's what we're going to do. We want you all to trust one another, trust your team. And so what we're going to do is let one stand up here, somebody get behind them, and we're going to let you fall back and let them catch you. That's supposed to build the trust. Well, I got news for you. Jesus will never fail you. He will always be there to catch you when you fall, and He'll always have a hand extended to pick you up when you mess up. Thank God for that. So we have faith in God. We have trust in God. But, you know, you can't trust somebody unless you know them. Come on now. You can be around somebody, but before you really, really trust somebody, you got to know them. Right. Have you ever noticed once you get around somebody long enough, you start trusting them, you start telling them things that you wouldn't have never told them before you got to where you knew them. Right? You start sharing some things. Why? Because I've learned to trust them now, and I have a relationship with them where I can do that. So if our relationship with Jesus is right, then we will resist the temptation of the flesh because we don't want to do anything to jeopardize that. See, once we have that relationship with the Lord Jesus, then it's that place to where I'm thinking about Joseph. There's a coat of many colors, Joseph. Joseph who ended up in Potiphar's house. Do you remember there whenever Potiphar's wife was trying to get him to lie with her? You know, she just flat out, she says, lie with me. Lie with me. Joseph says this, two things. Number one, I would not do that to my master. And number two, I would not do that to my God. See, both of them were relationships. Even though he was a slave, Potiphar had turned everything over to Joseph. He trusted Joseph. And Joseph had a relationship with Potiphar that brought him to the place to where he said, I do not want to jeopardize my relationship with my master and lie with you. And he said, but most of all, I do not want to jeopardize my relationship with God and do that. You see, God ought to be the most important thing. But at the same time, I just want us to see that we trust God and therefore we can rely on Him. And if we really have that relationship with Him, then we're not going to want to do anything to jeopardize that. There's things out there in the world that will tempt you. There's things out there that cause you the problems that Paul's talking about. But once we really get that relationship and we're trusting Him, then at least we have the check. Anybody ever got a check when you started to do something or started to say something or whatever? I call it a check. It's actually the Holy Spirit saying, whoop, catching you, telling you, nope, don't do that. Right? I call it the check in your spirit. So once you, that's the relationship you have with Lord Jesus, that the Holy Spirit, He'll quicken you. Don't do that. You stay away from that. Don't even talk to that person. You ever had the Holy Ghost tell you that? Don't talk to them. Don't get around because you're going to avoid trouble if you stay away from that. And then there's times He'll prompt you to go talk to somebody and because He's got something He wants to use you for. So we want to make sure we're developing the relationship that brings us into a right relationship with the Lord Jesus to where we trust Him, He trusts us, and we don't want to jeopardize anything. Listen, if there's anything that's wrong with our relationship between us and Christ, it's us, not Him. We are the problem. It's not Him, because He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way to the end of the age. The Lord Jesus will always be there with us. And here's the thing. The Holy Ghost will always be prompting us to do right. But you can quench the Spirit and go ahead and do what you want to because He gave you a free will. And when you do that, that's when you fracture that relationship. You put yourself away from Him. It's not that God walks away from you. It's that you separate yourself from Him. The sin or whatever it is, the disobedience, will separate you from God, separate you from the Lord. So we got to be careful to make sure that we're maintaining our relationship with Him just like He's maintaining His relationship with us. He'll never break His word to us. Never, ever. His word is forever settled in heaven. And so therefore, we should never break our word with Him. We should always be the same toward Him that He is toward us. And sometimes that's, again, we're dealing with this flesh and we have to do something. So, again, the problem's not with Him, it's with us. So, I want to real quickly here, I want to talk about how do we fix it when we're having a problem with our relationship. What's the best way to keep and maintain that relationship? Well, number one, of course, is we got to get into the Word of God. You knew I was coming back there. We're a Word of Faith church. We absolutely, if we want to maintain our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to keep our word level up. When you let your word level down, first thing you know, you'll have a world level in you instead of a word level. Come on now. So it's important for you. Yeah, I promise you, I love something I've never forgotten that I heard many, many, many years ago from Sister Darlene Bishop. She was preaching and talking about a situation and with that was going on and had went on. And she said this, and I've never forgotten it. She said this, a praying man won't sin, and a sinning man won't pray. Man, I've never forgotten that, because there was so much truth to that. It is true. If he's praying, he's not going to sin, because he's got that relationship and he doesn't want to jeopardize that. But if he's sinning, he doesn't want to pray. He doesn't want to go before God, because God knows where he's at and he knows where he's at, until he comes to that place to where he'll repent. And then he better pray. Think about that one for just a minute. And so we get into the Word of God and make sure that we're putting the Word first, you know, and then we get to that, what I just talked about. The biggest thing that we can do is spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Spending time. And I'm not talking about just going and, you know, and I've heard people back there was back in the, I guess around nine in the 90s, somewhere through there. There was this thing about, you know, people were, well, you know, I prayed for 2 hours. I prayed for 3 hours. How many hours do you pray? And they were talking about how many hours they would pray. And it was kind of like a thing about, I can pray longer than you. I'm going to tell you something. It's not about the quantity of time that you spend with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about the quality of time you spend with the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, listen, if you're just praying to hear your head rattle, you're just wasting your time. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, right, availeth much. Not just the prayer that you just, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord, my soul to keep. Come on, not something just recited, but heartfelt. I believe that's what the Amplified says, isn't it? The earnest, heartfelt prayer of the righteous man makes dynamic power available. See, that earnest, heartfelt, and that's what I'm talking about, the heartfelt prayer, the relationship that we have with Lord Jesus Christ. When we're spending time with Him, it needs to be heartfelt. I'll be honest with you, I'd rather have 10 minutes of quality time with the Lord Jesus is to have 30 minutes of those, one of those times. And I don't know about you, but I've been there when I'm praying and I'm just looking at my watch, seeing what time it is. My mind's going somewhere else. Come on now. And maybe you don't do that, but the things that I don't do, sometimes I do. And the things, right? I would rather have 10 minutes of touching heaven than 30 minutes of me just rattling. Because that's when the power really, really begins to show in your life. I've prayed in tongues before for a long time. And start out really, really dry. Anybody ever been there? You start out, you're really not feeling it. You know, not ringing heaven's bell. And be praying, you know. But I keep praying and keep pushing and keep. And all of a sudden, man, it's like the door flies open. And it's no longer dry now. It's no longer a struggle now. It's no longer me trying to do. It's, man, the Spirit of God is just flowing out of me now. And I realize and know there's power behind that one. I wasn't praying before, but now it's quality, not just quantity. And so spending time, if we want to fix our relationship with the Lord Jesus, we need to make sure that we're spending quality time with Him. There is no substitute for spending time with God. There is no substitute, because if you don't spend time with Him, you can't get to know Him. The reason most people don't know the voice of God when He speaks to them is because they've not spent enough time with Him to hear Him speak to them enough to where you know their voice. Come on, listen. Lillian has called and Stephanie has called, both of them before. They've called down to the house and they've tried to change their voice to fool me. You know what? Can't do it. You know why? Because I've spent enough time with them that even though they try to change it, try to sound like somebody else, I still know their voice. Think about that for a minute. When you spend time around people. Charles Hyde called one time and tried to, I don't know if he remembers that or not, he called up there and tried to pretend he was somebody else. I knew his voice. Why? We spent a lot of time together, working together, doing things together. He couldn't change it, but we've got a relationship. See? And even the Lord Jesus says, I know my sheep, and they know my voice. You see, and so we need to spend enough time with God to where we know His voice when He speaks to us. You talk about having a relationship when you know it's God. Anybody ever? I ain't gonna lie to you. Been many times. I'm just wondering: is this you, God, or is this just me? Is this just my conscience? Is this just? But no, it's that still small voice on the inside of you that's speaking so strongly, and you know it's Him. That's when the relationship's where it needs to be. So you can't substitute spending time with God. Now, with quality time, I'm gonna just say this because basically we fix things through the Word of God and spending time with God. Okay. Quality time with God, it's going to form a bond between you and God to the place to where no matter what comes at you, no matter what Paul's talking about up here in Romans, no matter what comes at you, you're going to be able to overcome it because between the Word that you know and the Spirit of God leading you on the inside and you're trusting Him to get you through it, you will get through it. You will be all right. You will make it. Even though you're struggling against your flesh, you know that the Word of God's forever settled and the Spirit of God lives in you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Right? Amen. All right, that's all I got. As long as we live on this earth, believe me, we're going to have struggles. But as long as we have Jesus in our life, we will overcome because He said that we were overcomers. He made us overcomers. He made us more than conquerors. Right? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Let's pray.